Going live. The Hangout on Air is live. I'm just reading from the screen there. Hello, everybody. This is Bant Stevens and Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. And that's Bobby back there. Hi, Bobby. Want to turn and wave? There's Bobby, my wife, Bobby. She's at the other computer. You might want to put off your screen share for right now. We have, this is a EVO, Electronic Village Online, Minecraft MOOC, a MOOC in this case being a minuscule open online course. It's our first Hangout, this is the 14th of January, 2015. And we've got with us Jeff Kuhn, who is one of our resident experts in this course. And he's done a lot of work with Minecraft. Maybe I could just let the other people introduce themselves. I can start with you, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. So I'm Jeff Kuhn.
Hello, everybody. This is Bant Stevens and Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. And that's Bobby back there. Hi, Bobby.
We got a recording somewhere.
Bobby, my wife, Bobby, she's at the other computer. You might want to put off your screen share for right now.
I think the live stream's going somewhere.
We have
It was
Claire. And Claire, when you want to talk, just unmute your microphone. I just muted you from here. And if you have a headset, that would be great. If not, just control the mute. Make sure you mute when you want to talk. Unmute your mic, and when you aren't talking, mute. That's good practice anyway in Hangouts. Okay, over to Jeff again.
Yeah, so I'm Jeff Kuhn, and I'm an instructor at Ohio University, and I work with international students in writing courses. So outside of that, I do a lot of games and learning research, and I've been using Minecraft in my classroom for about 2.5-3 years now, I suppose. And outside of that, I'm just sort of an excited 9-year-old that I've made it my job to talk video games to people. That's pretty much me.
Okay, 9 years old would make you the youngest person here. The next youngest is 11, and we got a 12-year-old with us.
That's the best part that we can talk about today is we have, you know, kids who are now content experts on certain things.
Absolutely. So let's go on around the room. Who else have we got with us?
Hi.
Tricky to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Maria.
Yeah, I stopped my video so that I have better connection and I don't have a choppy audio because I have three, I would say, 9-year-olds, even though one is older than a 9, and one is having a birthday today, actually, and he really is 9 today. The other is 11, that's our co-moderator, Philip, and I'm just glad to be here. I came just from work, and I'm looking forward to what Jeff is going to share with us. Playing Minecraft or any other games, just more passively, watching my son doing it, intrigued me with doing online teaching, game teaching or game-based teaching. I'm still learning more about it, so I'm glad that Jeff is actually combining the two. He's playing and teaching, so I hope that will work soon with me as well. So hello everybody from Croatia. It's 3 p.m. here.
Okay, had to unmute my mic. We have Carol and Claire with us. Anybody want to say hi? Carol?
I'd love to say hello. Hello everybody from Wales, where we've had snow for the first time since we moved here. I'm actually running another Evo session, or very involved in it, and I don't know how much time I'm going to have to devote to this one. I'm really hoping I can do it, but I know it's going to be tight. But I make a lot of machinima, and I'd love to start making some in Minecraft, which is why I want to learn a bit more about it. Downloaded it and got killed about 10 times and more or less gave up. I was useless at it, so I'm hoping to learn a bit from you. So hello from Wales. Glad to see you all.
Yeah, really glad to see you here. So let's see who can go for the mute, unmute first, Claire or Bobby. To unmute, you move your cursor up to the top of the screen, expose your control panel, click on the red muted mic button, and that will unmute.
Okay. Hello, everybody from Wales, where we've had snow for the first time since we moved.
And now, the problem there is the headphone. If you have a headset, then we won't hear the... What Claire is doing, she's getting the stream at a lag, and that's what's playing it back for us. So that's coming in over your speakers. So you probably need to get a headset. Okay, Bobby?
Okay, I'm Bobby Stevens, Vance's wife, and I don't know much about Minecraft, to be honest, but my son plays it, and when Vance started talking about learning Minecraft, I became very interested, and I'm a beginner, and I can see how it could be addictive, and it can also be used for teaching. I think it will be useful to learn how to play it.
Okay. When Claire gets sorted, I'm sure she'll come back to us. So anyway, this is going to be a conversation anyway. I suppose we're approaching this whole experience as if it were a game. We're wandering into it with unpredictable outcomes. Myself, actually, frankly, I suppose in Carol's case, she's putting on an EVO session as someone who knows something about machinima. But me, I decided to put one on without knowing much about Minecraft because it's just a way to push me kicking and screaming into this. And the kicking and screaming part is not through any distaste or anything like that. It's just because I'm so busy, as we all are, So you just really need to set up an appointment sometimes to learn something, and that's what I've done here. And Mariana and I wrote an article with Philip. We co-wrote an article that was on Minecraft and education. I wrote the introduction. I researched the who's doing English teaching with Minecraft, and I came upon Jeff Kuhn, and he gave a presentation at a gamification online conference. I listened to that, and then I also got in touch with Dave Dodgson, who was doing using Minecraft with his students in Ankara, in Turkey. I think it was Ankara. And he's gone to Gabon now. In fact, he was on a plane when he last contacted us. He was in Turkey for the Christmas holidays, I suppose. So anyway, he's also written articles, which at some point maybe we can. Well, you probably already have the link. We'll play around with links in a minute. And I believe Maha Abdul Munim is also in the text chat. She's in the stream. And by the way, Maha, there's plenty of room in the Hangout. So I think I put the... I'll make sure the link gets in the text chat. So some people in the text... the way this works, we're streaming on YouTube. That's how Hangouts work. And we have a web page, webheadsinaction.org/live, where we put the video embed for the stream, and with it, a chatwing text chat. And so that's where Maha is. She's in the chatwing text chat. She's probably listening to the stream as well. Anyway, so that's how we communicate with people who aren't in the Hangout. You get 10 people in a Hangout. So right now, there are only 6 of us here. Claire, have you managed to get where you can talk to us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Perfect.
I was making a stupid newbie mistake. I had the Webheads in Action page open, and I was hearing the live stream as well as the one from the web page. I apologize.
No worries. That's what the game is all about. We all make mistakes, and that's how we learn. And anyway, that was what happened. That's cool. So why have you joined us today?
I just want to find out more about Minecraft. I'm not in your class, so I hope it's okay if I just popped in to audit, so to speak.
Just like a restaurant. It's good to have customers at the tables. makes you look popular, and so that's fine. You're welcome. And actually, we've heard from a lot of people who couldn't make it. I guess a lot of people are teaching at this time. Dave Newsom, Dennis Newsom, said he has things he does every Wednesday, but apart from Wednesday, he'd love to join us. A lot of people have checked in. Okay. What are we going to do today, Jeff? Any ideas?
Good question. You know, I thought if we wanted to get a discussion going about sort of the nuts and bolts of Minecraft, we can certainly do that. But then, you know, I guess stepping back maybe and taking a bigger look at games, like I was looking for some statistics last night. And so just to kind of put things in perspective, you know, the last Pew Research report has about 97% of 12 to 17-year-olds playing games. I think Vance is talking, but I don't hear him.
Sorry, my lips were moving. I was talking to Bobby.
Oh, okay.
We're trying to get the Minecraft game queued in her window.
Uh-huh.
She'll do a screen share, and then, you know, if you want to reference the game,
oh, cool.
we could be there. Yeah, so anyway, we're just setting that up. So don't worry about my lips.
Oh, okay. And, you know, so on top of that, you know, last year the music industry reported about a $16 billion market. The movie industry reported about a $10 billion market, and video games were $67 billion. And so you can see it's a huge market, and it's pretty much like the next media. You know, we've always thought books, music, and movies, you know, television too, and video games have to be in there now. And you know, a great example of that is Philip may know this character, but has anyone ever heard of PewDiePie? Anybody know PewDiePie? Yes. So, you know, this is a YouTube commenter, and he talks video games. He does commentary on video games, and he does what's called Let's Play videos. You'll see a lot of Let's Play, where someone will play a video game and stream it, and other people watch it as a form of entertainment. He has 33 million YouTube subscribers, and over the last, I guess it's few years, he's has 7.2 billion views. Of his YouTube channel. And you have these different avenues too. There's something called Twitch, if anyone's familiar with Twitch, and it basically allows me to live stream my computer, my Xbox, my PlayStation. So you have people who will just broadcast them playing a game, and they've got 4,000 or 5,000 people watching. The last League of Legends tournament, which is an online game where people can play together, it had more viewers than the NBA Finals. So these things are creeping up, whether we're aware of them or not. There's this huge market, of not just for games, but entertainment around games, that's becoming the defining medium for kids. This is what they do. They watch other people play video games for fun. They comment on other people playing video games. They make machinima and broadcast it out. And as Mariana's saying, yeah, your students are the ones who tell you these things.
Yeah. I teach high school, and I have several students at the age of 17 or 18, and they are pretty much addicted to League of Legends, even though I have a niece, and both of my sons are younger. They are 9 and 11, and they do not play League of Legends, but she does. She's 15 or 14, and she's a girl, right? They told me, what are they going to do for winter holidays? And that was, I think, watching or playing this League of Legends, this kind of tournament. Okay, I can't believe that they have tournaments online for these kind of games. And I'm just going back to PewDiePie. Well, he's my son's favorite character, actually favorite YouTuber. Well, in the future, what would be their profession would be a famous YouTuber, a gamer. And I think he was one of the first that they came, they got familiar with, and they started watching his videos, and they still do. He makes it very fun. He earns a lot of money. I think he's a millionaire, and they have even read his autobiography, and Philip knows a lot about him. Even the younger son, he's 9, he follows his YouTube videos. I think every day he watches something new, because PewDiePie, he plays not just, he plays all kinds of games. It can be some unfamiliar one, and he makes it so funny, and this is how actually they learned English, through listening to him making these YouTube videos. And the funny thing is, he's not even an American. He's Swedish, right?
Yeah.
He's from Sweden. And I have read about him that he moved from Sweden to Italy, but then he had very low bandwidth there, so his girlfriend and him moved somewhere. I think they live somewhere in England now, or maybe.
For bandwidth.
Yeah, because of the bandwidth, so he can do this business, right? And Philip, he has his own YouTube channel, and he wants to have 250 subscribers. Don't know why. He tells us that he will be paid by YouTube. I don't know whether is that possible. I don't know. It's fun for them. And Carol already mentioned Machinima. Actually, he does that, and he follows Machinima on YouTube. He knows so many of these YouTube channels that I'm not familiar with, and I can tell you that sometimes these videos are so interesting, even sometimes more interesting than watching a film, as you said, Jeff. So back to you. I think I've talked a lot.
Well, you know, but it's sort of disrupting a certain amount of social dynamic as well. When you have a kid who's 12, you know, I see Maha's talking about World of Warcraft over in the chat, and, you know, I'm a frequent World of Warcraft player. It has 10 million people around the world, and a lot of players will form guilds, so groups that get together. You know, what happens when your best healer or your best tank, these types of roles in these Warcraft games and such, what happens when it's a 12-year-old kid? You know, and they're an expert in this, and so suddenly you have adults interacting with kids on a shared topic outside of a structured, you know, like school setting or anything like that. So suddenly, you know, you have, young kids, and Philip's a great example here. He's interacting with adults on our Google Plus page, inside of Minecraft, on YouTube, and we're listening to him. He's our expert, right? And so how do we handle that in a social construct is also really fascinating, because kids are just learning so much outside of school now, and that's sort of the challenge for us is, school's not the only place to get information and find communities to engage with. So you have kids who are getting into these huge communities online and developing expertise. You know, and there's a really great book by Mizuki Ito and a series of colleagues called Messing Around or Hanging Out, Messing Around and Goofing Off, and they studied about 3,000 kids and how they use digital technology, and they found that they go through about 3 stages, and the first stage is kids will just hang out, where they'll be a passive participant in something. Maybe their friends are interested, and they'll just watch. They'll sort of observe and see how it all works, and then they'll start messing around. So they'll pick a few different activities, and they'll just dabble in them. And what's interesting is when kids make a mistake in these fields, they'll just say, well, I'm just messing around. You know, there's very low stakes to their failure. And then they'll find something that really clicks with them, whether that's, you know, Minecraft or League of Legends, Machinima, YouTubing, what have you. And they'll geek out on that, which means they'll just donate or designate a huge amount of their free time to become an expertise in this item. And you're seeing this sort of, pattern of learning, and a lot of sort of the farther out educational researchers are saying it looks a lot like the apprenticeship model. So before formal education came about, where we all went to the same classroom and sat down by age and rank and whatnot, you know, we learned through apprenticing with people, and we're seeing that online. You know, novices are meeting up with experts and, you know, learning hands-on how to do some things. And so there's a lot going on in terms of learning that's, you know, how do we tap into that? I guess that's my question for everybody. How do we document it, observe it, and, you know, research it?
Um, It's a good question. I think Vance and I tried to answer this in our article, because I have been through this live with my both of our sons. First, as you said, I'm just listening and saying to myself, yeah, you're right, Jeff. The first thing they did, they watched, they did their, let's say, read about it, like did a research, then they started to play, maybe first on their own, then maybe with some close friends, and then when he figured out that it's not enough for him, he wanted to start doing this machinima. He started recording his progress, and he started speaking, because in English, everybody spoke English in these videos, at least those he watched, and it was fun for him. And the point is that he never ever asked any of us. Both my husband and I are rather good in doing this audio and video, but he did it on his own. He learned that Fraps is for him the best of all these video audio tools, that Camtasia is good but only for first month, then you have to pay, and mother and father didn't want to buy him. So he was watching others, he went to forums, he read. So I couldn't believe that the boy who was at that age, 8.5 and 9, when he started playing Minecraft, became now a great, in a way, let's say, YouTuber, and he's not even a native English speaker. And all this, in a way, made him, first of all, speak better English. He has a very good accent, almost like American accent. And then again, as you said, Jeff, he's very good. He's very good in information technology. He's even better in some sections. And he is so good that when he came to higher primary school now, the teacher recognized that, ICT teacher, and she immediately wanted him to join her advanced class, and now he's going to go into some kind of creation regional competition in ICT or something like that. And it is a bit boring for him in the ICT class in Croatia, because he knows so much. He does the tasks too fast for them. So is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. The only bad thing that I found out, that they spend a lot of time and that they learn bad language. So they swear a lot. They listen to PewDiePie. But as parents, we try to moderate and monitor them as much as we can. Sometimes we do it good. Sometimes I maybe oversee some things. But all in all, it's very, you have to be aware, as you mentioned, he plays with older people. I don't know who is he playing. I sometimes take the headsets from him and just to listen the voice. Is it a 25-year-old person, 40-year-old person? Is it a 9-year-old? It's a bit disturbing for me, you know. But we told him that he mustn't share any private information or internet, anything. And if people try to ask him, so in a way, what to say? You have to be careful. You have to teach kids from the very early beginning also of internet safety. So it's a bit difficult, but you gain more than they will. I don't know. So also as a just as, okay. Thank you. I will mute mic.
In talking with kids or in teachers as well, I've heard that quite a bit, where a lot of teachers will say they get so worried about the technology that they sort of lose track of what they should be doing. And a lot of teachers who really have gotten comfortable, they say, well, the kids will handle the technology. The kids will get the Minecraft server up and running. They'll get it working. My job is to make it educational. My job is to teach them proper, digital citizenship skills and things like that, to help them navigate this world they're going into. And so, you know, if you're worried about how Minecraft works on a technical side, the kids will know. They'll have it figured out. And what's fascinating is a lot of kids, they'll be able to talk about Minecraft extensively. And then you'll ask them about their game. Well, I don't own it. I just watch it on YouTube. They'll know tremendous amounts of information before they actually begin playing the game. And so they know what information to find. They know where to find it. They know how to set it all up. But a lot of times they just don't know about how to navigate those worlds, you know, who to talk to, who to not talk to, where to post their own information, where not to. Yeah, Thomas, can you tell us about your kids attacking each other? How do you handle that?
I don't know if you can hear me, can you? Because I wasn't able to test. Oh, excellent. Hello, everyone.
Hi, sorry, Thomas.
I've been here today.
Thomas was with us in Minecraft over there, where Bobby is now. Are you still in Minecraft as well, Thomas?
Yes. I set up two separate computers just for the sake of
it. Let's hear from you, and then we can go over to Bobby and her Minecraft screen.
I am in the room there, yeah, with Bobby. We're facing each other around. So, yeah, my kids, my sixth graders, had a sleepover at the school, because we have a very cool headmaster who allowed them to have a gaming night on a school night. And they were playing Minecraft on the bed and group at night, which is what they do at home, but for them to be absolutely to be able to do that was fantastic. And so they were so excited that today when I went in and tried to teach some English, they just were completely unresponsive. So I said, let's get into the room, into the library, and show them what you've been doing. And it was amazing to watch them, and it was a great experience. And they were obviously they had set up a server already, and it was things went fine with each other. It was small for them, but and especially the teacher between the library strange. That was the killing each other in the library. It wasn't too physical, but it was fun to watch them do it. And just to see the process and how they were interacting and communicating with each other and helping each other out was amazing. It's really impressive. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to be here, because I felt like I was missing out.
Okay, I'm hearing rain sounds here. That's from the rain in Minecraft, I think. Anyway, Antonios has joined us. Hello, Antonios. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you fine. Huh?
Hello, how are you?
Fine. Did you manage to find out how to join the document that we've set up?
No, I haven't tried yet because I'm on the university still having some lectures. By the time I'll finish, I'll check it.
Okay, yeah, I put screenshots up how to do that, but you're not the only one. That's kind of a surprise to me. We have a Google Doc that we set up, and we wanted people to write on it, and it turned out that it wasn't apparent at all how to do that, how to join it, although Thomas figured it out, and Thomas put in a request to join the Google Doc. And then a couple of people have come back and said, please add me, but they didn't really request to join. And I can't add them unless they provide an email address. So I had Bobby create some documents for me, share them with, well, just give me the link, and then we tested how to actually do that and made some screenshots. So it's a tutorial now. Even I didn't know how to do it. I just knew you could, and Thomas had figured it out. So anyway, great. So that's a step in the right direction. I'm sure you'll be with us on the Google Doc, Antonius. Where is your university?
University of Warwick in Coventry, UK.
Okay. Good. I see you have good hangout skills, muting when you're not talking. I really appreciate that. Okay. Maybe, can we just pass over to Bobby for a minute? Let me just put her screen up. If I click on it, it makes it big. Now, it makes it big for the recording. She's in the library at Minecraft. In order to make it big on your screen, you might have to click on her icon, and you can see her wandering around. She's in the library. I think I've been in the game. Thomas has been in the game. I don't know, Bobby, do you want to go up back to the throne room and find us? Or anyway, that's the server that Jeff has set up. There are instructions in our Google Plus community to reach there. And three of us are there now, Bobby Bear is her name, and Teacher Vance, that's me, And Thomas, I don't remember your handle exactly, but it's Thomas something.
Who's so, knocking holes in my castle?
Ah, uh-oh. Well, that'd probably be Bobby. I don't know. Maybe we didn't know how to open the door to begin with. I think that's what she did. Anyway, so she's wandering around in there, and that's we're finding that to be a whole lot of fun. So I don't know. Like you said, we're all getting back to 9-year-olds again. Anyway, but Jeff, when you see the back, you were telling me before the chat that you can see the chat that goes on the server, and you can use that in your class.
Yeah, and so one of the interesting things about setting up a server and running it is, you know, on the back end you get your server log. So for instance, as everyone jumps on the server, I can see who logs in and when they log out, and it's time stamped. And then also any chat that occurs inside of the game, I'm able to see. And so what's kind of interesting as a teacher is when the students start communicating with each other on the server, I'll copy and paste that server chat out into a Word document and then use their sentences to try to make grammar homework, you know, for my students. And, you know, that way we're just using real language that is contextually relevant. And that's what I've tried to do a lot with Minecraft in my classroom is using it as a way to create a shared context, because I have students from all over the world and, you know, everyone brings something different to the classroom. And so a great example that I use with them is if I ask everyone to close their eyes and think of a restaurant, I've got 10, 15 different versions of a restaurant going on in my students' heads. But if we're in Minecraft looking at the same thing, we have a central point of discussion. And so for me, Minecraft is a way of creating a shared experience in my room that they can write about, they can work with. So when it comes time to like do peer review or something like that, when they switch papers, they know what this other person's talking about because they've seen these things, they've done these things with them, and that shared experience really helps. It helps like the day-to-day activities of the classroom go a lot smoother because there's less need to explain and give these lengthy instructions on what to do. And so I do a lot of building of places, and I'll have the students get involved and build things too, and I was going to show everybody real quick if I can share my screen. What happened? Oh, who is in there? I just saw someone. This is a quick aside, though. Everyone seems to be picking Alex. This character skin that he's using is the new skin. For many years, they only had what was called Steve, the male character. And now they have Alex that you can choose. And you can actually change those skins. So my students will tend to personalize their skin and make one unique. If you see me log in, I'm Batman. In Minecraft, I'm Batman, because where else can I be?
If Felipe Doggy. Yeah. Doji, someone post this, Doji. He just came, Philip. Say hi, nobody sees you, just say hello. Hi, everybody. We are talking about Minecraft skins. Where do you find Minecraft skins?
On the skin desk. Skintext.com site.
Okay, so you have to go online and find. What's your favorite?
Planet Minecraft site.
Planet Minecraft site. And what is your favorite? Because Jeff says that he usually enters as Batman.
My favorite skin.
Yes, what's your favorite skin? Does it have a name? Or do you personalize your own? Hello? Do you personalize? He's not too talking. Daisy skin. Daisy. Jeff knows what Daisy is. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, well, I think we mentioned this in the article, right? About the skin. And students gamers are choosing different kinds of skins. And Steve is the, what did you say, Jeff? The first one that they have shared for all the characters.
There's Steve and Alex.
Steve and Alex. Okay. Sorry. I'm just watching what Tamás and Bobby are doing, and they are really having fun while we are doing the talking here.
One thing, if I can share my screen real quick, I want to bring up something. If everyone can see,
yeah.
Can I see a slide up there?
Yes.
And, one of the big issues with using, you know, games is the way people learn in games doesn't match a lot of the classroom timing that we have, and kind of a great way to look at games is how they're timed out, right? And about the first minute of a game, the player is only deciding if they want to play, right? Does it look like something I want to do? And then for about the first 10 minutes, they're gaining agency, right? And so what can I do in this game? Okay, I can run, I can jump, I can grab this, I can grab that. You know, with all the holes in my castle, I'm like, somebody's gaining agency, right? They're trying to figure out how to click on things, how to open things, move things. And then at about 1 hour in of playing a game, that's when the player will decide if they're going to take it or leave it. But past that, past about the 1 hour mark, things start to get really interesting. And 4 hours or so into a game is when the player will start to internalize their goal. And, you know, if you look at something simple like Super Mario Brothers, the goal is to save the princess. But a player might say, my goal is to collect every single coin in the game without dying once. Right? So they'll make up their own goals, and that's what really kind of drives player learning. They'll say, I want to do this, so I've got to learn how to do it. And so getting to kind of that four-hour mark and giving students enough time, you know, in either as homework or in class to actually develop their own internalized goals becomes really interesting. And past that is what you see that geeking out, you know, devoting like, you know, 40 hours, 50 hours in the case of MMOs, you know, 400 plus hours where they're learning not just the game but then the community. They're learning, you know, stats and figures, how to mod it, how to change it. Things like skins start to come in. And kind of a cool example I always like to show everyone, this other slide, is let me bring that up, maybe. Or my PowerPoint's going to crash, one or the other. I got too much going on, apparently. We'll see if it pops up. But there's an interesting situation where Nissan use the game Gran Turismo. And Gran Turismo is a car racing game that has some very realistic physics. And Nissan thought, I wonder if we took some really good Gran Turismo players and put them in real race cars, what would happen? And so Martinborough here, this young man on the left, he was in their GT Academy. So they took him as a player, put him in a car, gave him some minimal training in terms of using the car, and set him loose. And he was actually too good to be considered an amateur, but not quite good enough to be a professional driver. Just through having years of playing games, you know, he was able to soar past what's called the Gentleman League, and he's not quite good enough, though, to be a pro. And so what do you do with someone like this?
Okay.
You know, becomes kind of an interesting issue is...
Oh, okay. I'm having a little problem at my end. It looks like Jeff's having a problem.
Jeff crashed. I think it's low bandwidth for me as well. Everything is very slow. So.
In my case, I had moved my computer earlier and I forgot to plug it back in, so I popped out of my computer went offline. But I have this other one over here, so I just came back in on this computer. And there's Jeff again. Okay.
I can
catch me up. Yeah, you're back. What were you talking about? I went off briefly. I mean, I'll pick it up in the recording, but just catch me up where you were. What were you talking about?
You know, the kind of the learning structure of games and how much time you know, players will spend learning a game, and then what skills are they able to pull out of those games and apply in the real world? And so a great example is a car racing game where they were able to put these kids into race cars and they could race them.
Can I just ask a question? I was discussing once with my husband about video games, and there is a game called American Army. I know, I suppose you are also familiar with it. And I have heard that American Army is actually using such a game to introduce, I don't know, future soldiers into also some kind of... I don't know, giving a first aid kit or something. Because, for instance, when he before he was supposed to play this game, he had to pass a certain first aid kit. He had to go to school. You know, he really had an exam, and it was like real life into game. It's like prepping you for I don't know, a real life situation. I don't know. So this Grand Turismo, and the students, or what did you say, gamers, how well are they in driving these cars with professionals? I didn't get it. Did the professionals, drivers, try to play this Gran Turismo game?
Well, what happened with the players is they actually, you know, in England they had the Gentleman League, like the Amateur League, and they had the professionals. And these gamers slash drivers actually were too good to be amateurs. They couldn't race in the amateur league because they were too good, but they weren't quite good enough to be professionals either. So they're in this kind of murky middle. And yeah, the American Army game, I've heard about, and I've played a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it goes more of simulation, and so that's a whole other issue of simulation.
Yeah, thank you for. I couldn't remember the word, but the simulation. It more looks like simulation of the real life, and it's unbelievable how these games look like real life. And even if we have these kind of games, like with these glasses or something like that, soon that they are going to make, or I don't know, it will be like you are really inside of the game, like augmented reality, totally 3D playing and having. I don't know. Like you are in Minecraft, I don't know. So it's fun and a bit scary for me. I don't know.
Yeah, Minecraft has a virtual reality version that you can use. So Minecraft and virtual reality is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But don't going back to that, though, you know, when we have these environments, especially for language learners, because, you know, context is so critical for language, you know, I want to be in Paris if I'm speaking French. I don't want to be sitting at a desk in America. So a lot of these virtual environments, we can put students, you know, in there. And, you know, if they can't go to Paris, well, what's the next best thing? You know, in games, and especially simulations, more than games, simulations are kind of a great way to do that. And I have some maps, and I'll share them later in the course, where I've got an entire neighborhood of Paris I found online. So a group of individuals wanted to recreate this neighborhood in Paris, so they built that. There's parts of Beijing. The entire country of Denmark is now in Minecraft. The country actually set up a server, and it's Denmark. And the first thing that happened is a bunch of Americans went in and blew it up. You know, and Denmark, you know, responded quite politely. But they have entire countries are putting their own maps up. The Royal Ordnance Society in England created a geographical map of England and put it up in Minecraft. You can find Hogwarts. You can find Wuthering Heights, Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. You can find someone made a Minecraft map. So just the amount of sheer creation and development that's going in, somewhere out there is probably a map that you need for your classroom. And Carol has a great question. Can you find them? A great one is, and I'll put this in the chat, is Planet Minecraft. So if you go to that website, that's sort of the de facto repository for a lot of maps. And people put them up. And a lot of the players, when they put up a map, they have a download and distribute policy where you can use my map. Feel free to download my map, play it, but all that they ask is you give them proper accreditation. So if you use a part of my map, just put a little sign up that says this was built by, and you put their online handle. And so it gives you that credit. And once again, you know, students may not know that, but as a teacher, you know, those are the things we should focus on, is what are those digital citizenship skills that they need to learn in these environments.
Yeah, can I just say something regarding this, because the same thing happened to Philip. Well, he had created a lot of YouTube videos with his original maps, or the world that you build in Minecraft, and he would do videos on YouTube. And once, I always, as you said, as a teacher, I'm aware of the Creative Commons, of the copyrights and everything else. So always tell him, you have to be careful. Share whose credit is it. Check the copyrights. Be careful what kind of music do you use, and so on and so on. And he's trying. He's even better now. But as you say, he's 11. He was 9 or 10 2 years ago when he started doing this. And what happened to him is that somebody else took his video and put on his YouTube channel, and Philip noticed that, or actually some of his online friend noticed, but this girl, boy, whatever, he never mentioned that he took this from Snake Gaming 12, who made this video, and that he's just going to share this tribute for his environment. And Philip was a bit sad, and I think they have trying YouTube to report that that this boy has stolen his I don't know, works. So what happened to him is that he was disappointed that somebody is saying that this is their video, and actually Philip said, no, I created this one, you have stole my works. So it's a good point to also teach your students about copyrights, definitely, through Minecraft or whatever. So I'm sorry, just wanted to say this.
No, I think that's great, because I could think of nothing worse than walking in a classroom saying, kids, today we're going to read about copyright. But if you were to place it into that context of, hey, how do you feel if someone takes your Minecraft video off of YouTube? And then that, suddenly you've got a frame for that discussion of copyright. And, you know, that's what, like, Jim G, games researcher, talks about situated learning, or situated cognition, that idea that, you know, we learn best when we're in the environment that we're going to use that knowledge. So if we can frame it around a discussion, it certainly helps. And, you know, if half your class plays Minecraft, that might be a great way to introduce copyright or other issues like that. You know, I don't know how applicable that is in an English, you know, as a or a foreign language, second language teaching, whether that's English or not. But, you know, it's definitely, there are those learning opportunities. The hard part for us, I suppose, is to filter out what learning opportunities or what things we should be including in our classes and what tool best fits the purpose. Hello.
Sorry. Hello, sorry, I had to unmute my mic. How old are your students? I think you mentioned that you work at a university, or...
Yeah, my students are basically 18 to 23, 24.
But they're still comfortable in playing Minecraft or any other... or they're not.
No, it was interesting because I had a lot of students who played games, and... when I introduced Minecraft, they were kind of resistant because it wasn't the place for it. You know, they were in an academic class. You know, we shouldn't be playing games was the idea. So they were kind of resistant to it at first. And actually, the very first time I used Minecraft in a class was a disaster. I went, you know, kind of like full tilt constructivist, and I thought, I'm just going to put the game in the class, students will use it, and we're all going to like develop our own experiences and write about them. Didn't go well at all because students didn't really have an idea of what to do in the game. And one of the challenges with Minecraft versus other electronic software, you know, Minecraft's not a game, right? It's a toy. Games always have kind of clear defined rules. They have goals. They have objectives. You must
levels, yeah.
Levels, things like that. Minecraft is, as I mentioned in the video, it's like a rubber ball. I can bounce it, I can throw it, I can do whatever I want with it. that's entirely up to me. And so when I put Minecraft into the classroom, students just didn't know what to do. And so the second time I used it, I actually I combined it with, we started reading the book World War Z, and it's, if you've seen the movie's terrible, but the book is similar to, it's similar to Studs Terkel's World War II narratives, where people are given their life experiences surviving the zombie apocalypse. And so then my students were reading this book, and then inside of Minecraft I had a zombie apocalypse occur. And suddenly they were able to see, here's what happened to people in the book, and the same thing's happening in our game. And so suddenly, because they had a context and they were able to kind of draw between their reading and the game had a kind of a plot, it had a narrative that they were able to change and manipulate, that's when it really took off. Like, using it in the classroom really worked. Because it wasn't just playing a game for the sake of playing the game. It was in a clearly defined goal. You know, I gave it the goal and I gave it the orientation that it needed. So that's always the challenge, is finding out what game best fits what you need to cover in class.
I'm doing a mic. Oh, that seems to be working. Okay, I've had problems here you don't want to know about. They have to do with power outages and things like that. Anyway, it seems to have recovered this, and this is making a great recording. I haven't been able to jump in. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I've lost my microphone as well on the other computer that went down. So, yeah, okay. I don't. In a way, I'm kind of interrupting because I just came in from other angles. Have you got time, Jeff, by the way, because we're at the top of the hour, but I'm quite happy to stay for a little bit.
I've got time. It'd be nice to kind of, you know, throw it open a little more. I hate to be the one doing all the talking. But unless we want to talk like Minecraft specifics, if there's anything, you know, we can cover to answer people's questions.
You know, one thing that Carol raised, she's experienced. You know, she's moderating the machine EVO session, and actually Maha in the text chat mentioned she was in Second Life. And by the way, Maha in the text chat had a question that maybe we can answer. She wants to know the name of the game. I think the auto game that you were talking about.
That was Gran Turismo.
Okay. She's also a Second Life aficionado. And, well, it came up that it might be interesting, Carol mentioned that it might be interesting to do machinima in Minecraft, which is really, well, I mean, you do it in a way because you record what you're doing. I guess machinima is adding sound and making kind of a movie, which I think Philip already knows how to do with his fake gaming. But still, that's an interesting possibility for class use.
I recommend everybody, next time they're inside of Minecraft, start just hitting your F1 buttons. So each of the F1 buttons... I have to sign something real quick. Oh, yeah. I got a book in the mail, sorry.
Sequel to Z.
Thanks. And so, you know, one of the things, like, if you push the F1 buttons, for instance, like, F2 takes a screenshot inside the game. F1 hides your menus. And so, you know, starting to kind of use those features, you can set your stage and set your environments and, you know, get rid of things on screen to start recording. And like Carol's saying it, you know, you wanna talk about that a little bit, Carol? Like, what are you imagining?
Okay, well, I don't know how many people know, but I'm part of the Camelot project, and the Camelot is making machinima for language learning, and we're working totally at the moment in Second Life. Now, we're just starting the second year of the project, and Second Life, of course, is brilliant for adult learning because we can get them in, we can get them talking in different languages, but most of the kids are in Minecraft. They can't come in Second Life, so I would love to be able to work out how to make machinima to help children learn, because again, you can produce them if you can get in and you can do it all properly. You can produce machinima very quickly. So we might have sort of like greetings, which is something everybody does, obviously, and have two children there, or two avatars. I mean, they probably wouldn't be children in my case. I don't have any left these days. But to have them talking to each other and having this very general, tiny meeting conversation, perhaps 30 seconds, perhaps a minute long, which we can then post on YouTube as a teacher, as a learning resource, so that other children can go along and practice the voice, maybe go into Minecraft and practice as well. But I can see a huge market, without any money involved, if that makes sense, for little learning machinimas among children. And Minecraft seems to me to be the area that they might be attracted to.
I'm just going to ask Jeff. I'm not quite sure. As I said, Philip does a lot of videos in Minecraft, but I think Minecraft doesn't have an audio possibility, right? You cannot, like in Second Life, I suppose, when you enter Second Life, you can include audio so you can speak and be a part of a conference or have a round table or whatever, while when he speaks with students or his friends and they are playing in the same multiplayer world, they usually use Skype. So when he does recordings, they are all communicating. So I'm not quite sure how he does all these things. So they are communicating using Skype. They have this group, talks, and he still does the recordings. And I know Heike Philip. She wanted to recruit Philip for Second Life because they are actually practicing English. First of all, my son is Croatian, and the other children from Croatia, they all come together, but they don't speak Croatian sometimes. They practice their English inside. Mm-hmm. They can even get somebody else joined from other countries, as you said. So it's like, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, real-life communication in one second language, in this case, foreign language, in this case, English. Maybe Jess can elaborate more on these things. Thank you.
You definitely can easily record machinima using Skype or just do voiceovers. So I imagined if I could get together with two or three little avatars and set up little scenes, little scenarios in Minecraft and record even just the visual, then we can add voiceovers later to make sure that the quality of English is there, because I can imagine that children talking, really talking with accents and dialects and poor grammar and whatever, it wouldn't be the best learning resource. But to get good quality language added to little videos as a teaching resource should be very easy. I mean, the rest of it I can do standing on my head. It's the Minecraft bit that totally amazes me. As I say, I went in and got killed so many times. After about a week of getting killed, I think I just gave up. But I must have it still somewhere on the computer. You know, I'll hand back.
that's sort of a challenge of a teacher, I suppose, is could kids turn in a machinima video that's been scripted so that if they write the script, shoot it, add the audio, could they turn that in for assessment? You know, could we assess them that way instead of a written test, perhaps? Or, you know, what if you listen to their machinima and say, hey, do you think the King of England would really sound like that? You know, and suddenly they have to practice a little pronunciation or something like that. And, you know, all these things sound really great. It's just how do you harness that lightning in a bottle for the classroom? How do you get it into the classroom environment? And, you know, as Philip's doing, you know, they're going to do this no matter what. That's what's so frustrating and exciting is for teachers is, no matter what, our students are going to do this. It's just a matter of, can we capitalize on it? And if so, how? And, you know, unfortunately, there's kind of no magic bullet at this point. And even the research, there's a lot of research on the potential of games. You know, here's what games could do. But if you look at the data, it's case studies, it's highly motivated learners, but we haven't really seen extensive research inside the classroom, you know, and made that body of literature that shows this is what works and this is what doesn't. But I'd love to have my students make Machinima. You know, if they were reading Hamlet, let's say, you know, they could state Hamlet, you know, put on a little Hamlet play inside of Machinima. That would be awesome. But those are big undertakings.
Could bring it to life, though. They might really enjoy it.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect. I think it would be more motivating for them to read the drama altogether and make it. I know that Philip, for instance, he mainly spoke with American students or people who have American accent, and following and listening to YouTube videos with the people who have an American accent, he speaks that one. But then recently he got a friend from I don't know, somewhere in England with a British accent, and it's unbelievable how he can easily imitate that accent. He speaks I can't have an accent at all, but he speaks and it's easy for him. He even likes to switch, and he tries to speak more in that now these days. So I don't know why do they like to speak in English. That's the first, because the younger one, he even have a language shift, the younger son. He doesn't speak Croatian anymore, unbelievably. He doesn't know some of the stuff in Croatian. He thinks in English and tries to translate in Croatian, which is, I don't know why this is happening. So I don't know. It really, really... in a way, annoys me, and then on the other hand, it's great because I know that they are speaking English, and English language is international, and in class, they never have any problems when they are learning in school. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot.
So,
go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I was wondering what Tomas had with his video, because I like that idea of, you know, if they had to read something and then either maybe build it in Minecraft or make a little video. So I'm wondering, what was the reading about that your students did?
Here I am. I'm just looking for the video on our class blog, and that's why I went so quiet. I can't find the video. We had a relatively poor... I teach in a German school, and the material is pretty boring, book standard English language teaching, reading about an accident on a seaside. And I said, okay, choose a character, and you can write a song, you can write anything, just describe what happened in this reading from the perspective of one of the characters, or invent a character. And three of the boys in the class decided to build the whole scene in Minecraft and acted out what the different characters were doing in the story, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you can post that video on the Google community, and
the little bastard made it private, so I will have to ask their permission to share it. But yeah, I will try to get their permission to share it.
But that's awesome that you know. Indeed. Hey, I got to ask the students permission. It's their content, you know.
Indeed. Yeah.
I don't want to drag on too long. It makes a long recording, but I would like to know or talk about perhaps what we might like to do, how we might like to go from here. In setting up these online events, I think it's very important to have them, and it would be really nice to meet in Minecraft itself. Let's see, we have another. The next one we have set up is, I think, January 25th. But does anybody know a good tool for scheduling meetings that we could put out to the community so that people could tell us when they can come? Because we've got quite a lot of people who are, I should say quite a lot. We've got probably about half a dozen who have written that they would be here, but the time just wasn't right for them. So this tends to be a really good time for me, and Mariana is usually available at this time. Jeff seems he's up at this time. Claire is just yanking herself out of bed wherever she is at this time. And Thomas is in the same time zone I am. He's just right down the road. But I'm open for other times. Halima has joined us, by the way, from Uzbekistan. And we're just finishing up here, Halima. Yeah. Claire says it's 10 a.m. and she's just dragging herself out of bed. My goodness, it's terrible.
It would be fun to meet in Minecraft. It'd be kind of fun if we could get, you know, what they used to call a LAN party. You know, if we can get everybody on together, or at least a good chunk of people, and just play together. And one of the things I found with my students, what was interesting is there were only 15 of us in the class. So when they jumped on the Minecraft server, usually no one was there, or there might be like one or two people. And the thing they really connected to the most was playing with other people, whether it was students or if I was on there. And, you know, getting sort of that, I don't know, capacity on the server really makes a difference. So if we could all get together at once, I think it'd be a pretty good fun. And that's what people really like about these games, is getting on and socializing with other people. Often the game isn't as important as socializing inside of the environment.
We planned something like this in week 3. I think Philip wanted to have, like, as you suggested, Jeff, maybe hanging around. But then either we would use only chat, or maybe we could set up a Skype or Google Hangout or Skype group call, so that people can maybe talk, exchange, or just play, write in chat. I'm not quite sure. And I think he wanted to even have a recording of the us playing inside or something like that. That we will see. It's we still have time. I'm still trying to figure out this first 10 minutes, how to move around, how red mouse button, left mouse button, because I create something and then I smash it automatically. And they laugh at me, my kids. So they told me that we are going to play on our local server at home. So when we get inside and me, my Jagans are playing and I build something, and then Philip comes and he destroys us, or he, so it's like I never build anything, so they are making fun of me. Okay, so I have to go, unfortunately, and thank you, it was a very nice chat.
Mariana, I would like to say some words to Mariana. Mariana, how are you? It's so amazing to see Mariana among moderators. The last time I saw Mariana, it was in Hangouts with Teresa. Mariana, do you remember me?
Yeah, Halima, yes, of course, from becoming a webhead already. Welcome.
I'm so glad that you are moderating the group for Mubarak, and I marked it myself in the Google Map, and I'm so alone being on in me from Central Asia. I even asked why you have not the name Uzbekistan. I pin it, but it is appeared like Kazakhstan. Now it is me, please. Please,
don't worry, I'm going to pin your name in the ICT for ILT. Okay, welcome, Halima, and we hope you are going to join us in Minecraft MOOC as well. I have to go, Vance. Bye, everybody. Bye, Jeff, Carol, and Bobby, and all.
Hello,
see you later.
Hello,
bye, Tomas.
Bye. Halima, I'm going to mute you because we need to talk about organizing. So, do you mind? Can you mute yourself so that we don't get echo on the. Everyone is muting when they're not actively engaged.
Man, thank you very much for invitation.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. Talking about going forward. So I would like very much to meet in Minecraft and then have a voice component somewhere outside. And I'm available this weekend. That starts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm back at work, but this weekend would be very good for me. Probably somewhere around this time or earlier. Are you still with us, Jeff? Yeah.
Yeah. I this time of day is always good for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll set something up. And Thomas, are you available? Thomas was there just earlier. Thomas, you're with us, okay. Yeah. Are you doing anything this weekend, or are you available? It's very cold here in the UAE right now. Somebody recommended Doodle earlier. Thomas is having trouble finding his unmute button. Anyway, how does the UAE define cold? Well, I'm wearing long sleeves. That's cold. We have a heater going in this house, also. Cold is about 19 degrees centigrade. So, anyway, does anybody have any last comments they'd like to make? We might just wind this down and probably try to get something, a meeting in Minecraft so we can practice. We all need to practice, and it's good to have people around to practice. That's very helpful.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I try to do also is, because I see the server, I can see when people pop on. So if I do see someone on there, I've got a couple of spare minutes, I like to jump on at least and say hi. So if you do get on the server, I'll try to look for you there and visit when I can.
Okay. Well, Bobby and I will probably be on around this. No, let's see. Well, actually, we generally tend to, we're up about the time you go to bed, and then afternoon you're waking up for us. So we'll try to be on around this time. So we'll, and we can practice together. So and I suppose when we go on, we could probably announce it somewhere. We'll tweet it on the MC. Maybe people could use Twitter to communicate that they're there on the server or looking for someone to come. So using the EVOMC15 tag, if you are looking for partners, perhaps we could use that a lot more. And I've got a link to this tag. What's it called? The tag. I forget its name. I'm in the wrong computer, actually. But anyway, it's a tag search. It's working pretty well. And from that, I just posted it in the Google Plus community that due to Shelley Terrell's tweet, I found Thomas's blog post, which is a very nice one to read just before coming online. So there's a link to that. And also, it's a good example of how tagging works, because we have this tag aggregator, we can find tweets and Google Plus comments, and it works pretty well to direct us at what's going on in the community. So LFG, looking for a group.
Fans, can you make a screenshot that I am really with you, and I will demonstrate to all whose team members, because nobody is joined to some sessions. I explained it many times. People do not believe this is really. Could you? I cannot make a screenshot. And I don't know how many people from Uzbekistan are in a Evo session. How to know this, Vance?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if we have that kind of information until the sessions are over. We sometimes count where the people came from. But you're certainly welcome to join us and to send your friends. And,
yes, I joined.
That's what we're all about.
It was recommended to join only to two sessions. I joined to yours, to Marjana, this ICTV Mbare, and crafting e-textbooks, because it is a very great thing needed in Uzbekistan nowadays. Thank you for invitation again.
Okay. Well, one small problem with our session is that you have to buy the login to you have to pay the $25 to get a login for Minecraft, and that's unavoidable. So that's not something that's normally done in EVO. But that's what we have to do it, because that's part of that $60 billion industry that's going on, and we're contributing to that. Anyhow, well, Jeff, thank you very much for taking your time to join us. And Thomas, good to see you in Minecraft. Claire, nice of you as always to pop in. And,
thank you.
Halima, nice to see you again.
Good moderator. I am joining to your group. And always it's so amusing, and I enjoy being with you. Thank you very much again.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks to Bobby, my lovely wife, at the far end of this window. So I guess we're about to wind down here on the 14th of January, 2015. Our first EVO Minecraft MOOC hangout, which we just started getting together. And before this, a lot of us were in Minecraft itself. So if you want to join the community, I think I have a... There's a shortcut to the community. Let me see if I can recite it for you. Oh, goodness. My screens are kind of... My windows are out of adjustment because I had so many problems. Anyway, never mind. Does anybody know the shortcut to the
Google tiny Plus? File?
Yeah, if you look in the sidebar of the Google Plus community...
I think I have it.
Yeah, I'll find it in a moment. Set a tab here somewhere. Oh, anyway, that's okay. You can find our Minecraft community and enjoy. Oh, now I've lost this window. I'm just a bit of a mess because I power went off on my other computer, and because of that, I'm getting systematic now. Going to communities and Minecraft MOOC. And if you want to join us, at long last, the tiny URL should be forthcoming in a moment. Oh, it's in that, we got windows popping up all over the place. Okay, here we go. Now, funny, I can't find the sidebar in this window. Okay. Oh. Also, my mouse stopped working. I don't know. I can't get out. Here we go. Here we go. I found it. tinyurl.com/EVOMC15. That was a no-brainer.
So anyway, better have to beat the goat by a wide margin.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'm going to call it a night. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate you contributing, coming online.
See everybody online.
Okay. Good night. Oh, I got to stop the recording. Leave the call. Stop the broadcast. There you go. I got it.